and a place to sit somewhere near water. Thank you for tuning in to the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House. Well, we're talking outdoor living, primarily in your garden today, with the one and only urban farmer, Mr. Greg Peterson. So, Greg, we've turned our lot. We've talked about recognizing all the sources of water you do already have.
Yep.
Recognize them, grab them, manage them. We've talked about turning your lot into a sponge. And that's intimidating to me. When Jennifer and I have been in the same home for over 30 years, we ended up in an old home, but it had a very large lot. We're on an acre.
Yep.
And I decided to turn 250 square feet of it into a garden.
Yay!
It took me 12 years of enhancing that. The first year I rototilled, I had to bring the rototiller back to the rental yard with like four broken teeth.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Oh, I mean, I had to use a jackhammer to break it up at first. But I'll tell you what, you go in that garden today, and man, the soil condition in that 250 square feet is pretty enviable. And it's one of the reasons I'm resisting a move is I got to start all that all over again.
And now we don't have teenage boys do that. You know, that was really good.
Right?
That was really good pastime for teenage boys. Hey, go turn that thing.
That was really good.
I can help you get jump started on that.
Well, I'm going raised planter for sure.
All right, good.
So I'm going to start with good soil, protect it from the gophers on the bottom.
Yep.
Rabbits from the top and birds from above. And I'm going to build 14 plant prisons that are all raised and elevated. Now, we were talking about enhancing the soil, watering the different sources it is. I want to talk to the different systems of distributing it. But before we do that, I want to talk about the value of shade.
Shade. Huge. Huge. You know, just like we shade our house, my office has a west-facing external wall. And when I didn't have a mulberry planted there, I couldn't, and you know, I'd go out there in August and I couldn't touch the wall. It was hot.
Yeah.
And all that heat is radiating into the house. Then I have to cool the house in order to
count,
right? So just like putting the mulberry up to shade the house, we want the first thing you can do, especially in your basins around your tree and in your gardens, is plant a ground cover. Plant some kind of ground cover that shades the ground. In my front yard a few years ago, it was 145 degrees at bare dirt.
Soil temperature.
Soil temperature was 145 degrees. Underneath the sweet potatoes growing in my front yard, it was 89 degrees. That's the difference between plants thriving and plants driving. I can't talk today. Thriving or dying.
Dying. Sweet potato makes a good ground cover?
Yeah.
Year-round?
Yeah. It actually dies back in the winter.
Okay.
You can harvest sweet potatoes from the space. We had, 30, 40 pounds of sweet potatoes that we harvested out of the front yard this past year. And you just go to the grocery store and find an organic sweet potato, let it start sprouting on your kitchen counter, and put it in the ground.
Okay. And one sweet potato, does it re-root?
It does.
Okay, so it, and every place it plants a root is another place you could possibly harvest that next potato, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I have sweet potatoes from 25 years ago in my front yard. They just come back year after year.
All right. That's a great ground cover tip.
It is.
And I love sweet potatoes.
I'll add those cowpeas, too, because you've mentioned cowpeas can be planted.
Yeah, there's the urban farm.
Okay.
The urban farm cowpeas, which is a nitrogen-fixing bean that grow wild in my yard now.
So the value of shade.
Huge.
So we've recognized water sources. We've encouraged you to manage them appropriately. We've encouraged you to turn your lot into a sponge. We've encouraged you to shade that sponge. And that's strategic. So some of the stuff you're going to want to grow requires some sunlight, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now let's go back to water.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've recognized the sources of our water, what's the right way to distribute it?
Well, that's kind of up to your space.
Okay.
So that's, in permaculture, our favorite answer, well, it depends.
Okay. I love that.
It depends. It depends what you're watering and how you're watering it. Watering trees with a single drip emitter next to the trunk is a recipe for failure.
It's really a death sentence.
It is.
For the tree.
It is. Absolutely. Now, we've come up internally at the Urban Farm, we've come up with what's called a drip ring, and the drip rings have 18 half-gallon per hour emitters, and it's a ring that goes in the base and around the tree. So drip irrigation can work. It's not necessarily the best way
okay.
to water your gardens and your fruit trees. So there are other solutions. We have something, my favorite thing is called drip tape.
Okay.
Drip tape is not drip irrigation. Drip tape is a farming practice used on large, medium to large farms. And the reason you probably don't know about it is because it's never been downsized to home gardens.
Oh, okay.
And the cool thing about drip tape is that you set it up similar to a drip irrigation system, but when the drip tape system turns on, it fills all of the drip lines before they start leaking. So one of the challenges we have with drip irrigation is you get more water at the beginning of the system than you do at the end of the system.
Okay.
With drip tape, everything pressurizes equally, and then it starts dripping. So you get drip irrigation, you get water evenly throughout your garden, which is really important.
Now, in a vegetable garden mm-hmm. where you're going to be eating the leafy greens,
mm-hmm.
don't you like to just kind of wash off the leafy greens every once in a while? I like a spray head
yeah.
just to kind of rinse it off every once in a while.
Yes. And I usually do that in the sink after I harvest them.
Okay. Oh, not in their growth cycle. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Because especially with our hard water here, above spraying sprinklers puts that calcium on the leaves of the plants.
Okay.
And it can, doesn't necessarily have to, but it can negatively impact them.
Okay.
Plus, if you're spraying the water in the desert, how much of it's evaporating?
A lot.
You know, now if you want to go out there with your hose and hose everything down once a week or so, that's not a problem.
I'm going to pivot here because we have a caller that wants to talk to us. Sometimes one of us mentions one thing
uh-huh.
and then that triggers like a string of phone calls.
Good.
And I said I wanted to go raise planter gopher proof. So now Steve says, oh yeah, gopher proof?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about gopher proof. Steve, good morning.
Hey, Rosie, it's one of those things, you know, when you say it, all of us want to know, how do you go for proof it? Is there something you do? Is there something you buy? Can you tell us what that is?
All right, Steve, hang on one second. Greg, I have the raised plant, gopher proof raised planter engineered in my head, but what do you do? Your third of an acre
yep.
is
gopher less.
Very lively. It's got so much living on it.
Yeah, no
so,
gophers, though.
But how do you manage that?
So,
is it the flood irrigation? Does that keep them out?
No, because there are gophers in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Maybe right. I just cursed them. I put a hex on them to stay away, and okay. they've never shown up.
Well, if that works, you could...
So,
gopher-proofing. Let's just start with your garden and gopher-proofing your garden.
Yeah. One of the things that I've started looking at is my weed walls.
Okay.
So in my front yard at the Urban Farm, I have Bermuda grass, and the garden beds don't have Bermuda grass in them because about 20 years ago, I built a 18-inch deep concrete wall down into the ground that keeps the Bermuda grass out.
Keeps the roots out.
Yeah. And one of the things I've been pondering, because I'm going to be building a greenhouse in a place where there's gophers here pretty soon.
Okay.
One of the things I've been pondering is figuring out how deep gophers dig. And I think they stay in the top 18 inches or so.
I don't know.
So it'll be a good piece of data for me to find. And I'm thinking what I'll do with my new greenhouse is I'm going to go down 2 feet with a concrete wall.
Okay.
So that when they try and get in, they hit a block wall.
All right.
So that's just kind of planning in my head. One of the things that I've also heard people do is they take hardware cloth. You know, the metal hardware cloth. And
metal, folks, think of it as metal screening.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. But heavy-duty metal screening.
Heavy, yes. Yeah. Well, not like a door screen. It's much heavier than that.
Exactly. And lay that down in the bottom of it. The problem with that is that in 5 years, you're going to have to do it again.
Right.
Because, you know, it'll break down.
Any gopher it gets through is going to be toothless.
Yeah, right.
So... Yeah. We have talked 20 years ago. We had someone tell us, Rosie, you take 1 gallon Arnold pickle jars, glass jars.
Uh-huh. Arnold's pickles. Oh, my gosh.
How about that? Oh, right. You fill them 3/4 of the way full, put the lid on it, and you bury them in the ground around your garden. The water vibration, as the gophers start moving towards that, will give them the impression they're coming up on a reservoir, and they will turn around, and you will isolate an area that is gopher free. And from every application we tried that, it works.
Wow.
1 gallon glass jars filled with water, buried in the ground with the tops exposed so you can fill it with water occasionally and check it.
Oh, all right.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But in a raised planter, that's why I'm going raised, I will do a hardware cloth. The planters will be sized enough where they're going to have to be reconstituted and rebuilt every 5 to 7 years anyway.
Yep.
I'm going to be doing some gopher teeth breaking material along the bottom.
Right.
There'll be stacked Belgard pavers, dry pavers, building it up. There'll be a little screen arch over the top. Because my problem is raising the dogs.
Oh, yeah. My dogs used to go into the garden and dig up carrots and eat the snow peas right off of the plants.
And then a bird gets through and gets stuck in there.
Mm.
And then maybe by the time the dogs end up trying to get the bird, the screen's gone. It looks like a crime scene. But the chew-proof guardian on the floor.
Yep.
Raised planter, organic
mix from Arizona Worm Farm.
Sprinkler system accordingly.
Yep.
And then protect it from the birds above. And that's, and rabbits. I mean, my winter harvest, I just thought, why isn't this growing? I finally built an expanded metal lath cover and I covered it. Boom. In 3 days, they were exploding. I was feeding the rabbits.
Yep.
I don't know how they were getting in there. But once I protected them, I mean, it just exploded.
I had a lady maybe 15 years ago out in Paradise Valley that I did a consult with, and she built a hardware cloth cage, 8 feet tall. You know, it was 20 by 40, hardware cloth on the top and the sides. It kept the critters out, and she had a wonderful garden that way.
And that's
dedication.
Okay, there's another option. We're going to take a little break here. But when we get back, you've got some of this, all this material coming up in a class you're going to give.
I do, Tuesday night.
I want to talk about that when we get back.
Cool.